Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf yud aleph. We're holding the top line, the top of the umud, and the gemara begins unkulus bar kloinimus. Back in Masechtas Gittin, the gemara brings similar stories about unkulus bar kloinikus, apparently the same individual, and there in Masechtas Gittin it identifies him as being bar achse the Titus, that he was the nephew of Titus Harosha. And both there and here it tells us that this unculus decided to be Megayer, to convert to Judaism. There's a discussion among the historians whether this is the same unculus as the Targum unculus on the Torah. But regardless, the Gemara tells us that unculus became a ger. Shoda Kesar Gunda de Roimoi Abasre. So the Caesar, the Kaiser, sent a Gunda. Gunda is a garrison of troops, Roman troops, Abasrei, after Unculus. Doesn't tell us what they wanted to do, but presumably he wanted them, the Kaiser wanted Unculus to return to the fold of presumably whatever their religion was, and that's why he asked that this garrison of troops bring him home. Anyway, Unculus was obviously a very, very smart individual, as we'll see from our Gemara, because when this garrison arrived, he said, okay, Rabbeisai, but let's first learn Ashtikal Torah. Mashkina Bikroi. And he started dealing with them and discussing with them Tanakh, etc. And they were so convinced of the truth of what he was saying, Igayer. They joined him and they also became Ger. When the Kaiser heard this, he was not impressed. What he did was, Hodeshodar Gundadrei Moyachrina Basre. So he sent now a second garrison, a whole bunch of troops again to try to bring Unculus back. And he said, don't make the same mistake as the first garrison of troops. Don't engage him in conversations or garnished. As they went and they were bringing Unculus back, in other words, at least initially, they were successful in drawing him back towards the Kaiser. So now Unculus said to them, I heard that you don't want to engage me in any Tanakh, Tanakh discussion, because the Kaiser said, don't discuss. But instead, let me go and tell you a story, basically like a mashal. And they said, okay. What did he tell them? Now, the Gemara is going to bring a number of titles of different political leaders, each one going from the lowest to the highest. The Gemara says, Gifura nokat nura kami pefura. What happens if it's, for instance, it's a cloudy day, or it's at night, and people cannot see? So then somebody has to hold the torch for the people behind him to know where to go, how to go. So the Nefura, who happens to be the lowest on the political totem pole, Nokat Nura Kami Pifura. He's going to go and hold the candle, he's going to hold the torch, today we might say the flashlight, in front of the Pifura, who is the next in line above him. The Pifura is going to go and hold the light, hold the candle, L'doichsa. Dukis is the one on top of him. Could be. Duchsa is the hegemona. He's going to hold it for the hegemona, who is the political leader above him. Hegemona is going to hold it L'kuma. Kuma, says Rashi, is the melech. That's the king. Kuma minokat nura mekami inchi. Would the king hold the torch for anybody else? Of course not. He's the most exalted in the entire regime and in the entire government. So he's the highest. He's not going to hold a candle or a torch for anybody else. So he asked him, "Kuvim mi noket nura? Amrlei light?" Of course not. Amulahus, he said to them, but I want you to know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu noket nura kami Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech malchi hamlochim. He does hold the torch in front of Klai Yisrael, the chassidus in the pasuk. V'Hashem hoylech lefneyam yoimam. And then the pasuk continues on, Ba'amud onon lanchoisim haderech. The laila the amud eish. At night, the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel does hold that torch for us when we go through the night. Oh, so you see how much greater Kodesh Baruch Hu is from all of these silly political leaders. Igayer Kulu. When they heard this beautiful story, they went and said, yes, we are converting and joining Klal Yisrael. Hadeshadar Gunda Achrina Abasrei. The Kaiser was not fazed and he sent another garrison of troops. The Lashon of the Gemara before was on the fourth line. Don't talk to him. But apparently that type of Lashon means don't get into any theoretical or philosophical or theological discussions. Here he said, "Tishto mi debadei, don't open your mouth, don't say a word." Okay. Kinakti lei va'asli, as they were going now al haderech, or at least they were extricating him from his home, taking him to the Kaiser. Chozem mezuzah, the mancha pischi, saw a mezuzah that was there on the Pesach. Oisav yodei lo, and he put his hand on it and presumably gave it a kiss. The omelahu. And now he, Unklus, addresses them and he says, "My high, do you have any idea what that is?" Amrlei, Eimulonat, Nu Jokt Ir, tell us what it is. Amlahu Menahogisholoilam, Melech Basavadam, Yoshimi Bifnim, Vavodim, Mishamim, Oisim Bachut. Under normal circumstances, your Melech Basavadam, he sits inside the palace, and the Avodim are the security guards, are standing outside. The Ilah Kodesh Baruch Hu Avodim Bifnim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, his avodah, meaning the Jewish people, we are all inside, and he is protecting them from the outside in the form of the mezuzah. Shenemar, Hashem Yishmoy Tzeischa V'yachem Yat V'yad Olam. Kodesh Baruch Hu always watches us, both when we leave and when we come in, and that's symbolized by the mezuzah. In fact, on the bottom of many of the mezuzahs, it's traditionally the right Shin Dalet Yud, Shin Kuf Yud, which is a Rosh Tevis, Shoymer Dal Tzeis Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching over all of the doorways, all of the passageways of Klai Yisrael.
The bottom or on the reverse?
Take out your mezuzah from the thing and take a look. I don't mean the bottom of where the text is, from the back of the cloth.
You can see the outside.
Exactly. The inside of the cloth, you have the two parashis. And then you fold it up, and then you look on the outside and the bottom, and you say, Shakai. Anyway, Zuki Morabaita, guess what happens? Igayer. Now all of those that were seeking, this is now the third or the fourth group of troops trying to bring Unklus back, when they heard about the godless of the mezuzah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Shoyim Yisrael, not like one of our senators, guess what happens? They were also Megayim. Zuktimar Sulei Shoda Basrei, the Kaiser already gave up hope and said, it's hopeless, and therefore he didn't send any more. This we've concluded the shtickle, and we start a new shtickle, and this next new shtickle we have in the Gemara is brought in Rashi and is quite well known. Rivka Yemenu was complaining about the fact that she was having terrible labor pains. What's going on? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, nothing to worry about. You're going to get Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. And we know, of course, what happened after that. Ultimately, Esav and Yaakov Avinu were born. Now, the word Goyim, although that's the way we pronounce it, if you look in the Torah, it's spelled Gimel Yud. Yud Mem instead of Gimel Vav Yud Mem, and therefore Omer Yudam Rav Al Tikri Goyim Ela Geyim. Don't read it Goyim, but Geyim. In other words, read it as if you are reading the Ksav, not based on the Kri that we normally have, based on the way it's written. And what is that coming to tell you? Geyim means those that are very proud of their, in this case, of wealth. Zantaninis V'Rabbi Shlei Poskim Miyal Shulchanim LeChazeres LeKishav LeTanoin. It says here in the Gemara that both Rebbe and Antoninus were so wealthy. We know a lot about that wealth. We discussed it already yesterday, that Antoninus would go and send to Rebbe on a daily basis a huge leather container which had in it crushed pieces of gold. And Rebbe said, "I already have enough. You don't have to keep on sending it to me." Antoninus says, "You're going to need it, because in two or three generations, my Enoklach are going to try to take major, going to try to impose major taxes on the Jewish people. So you should have money to be able to go and pay it." So that's why he sent him all those funds. If you're wondering where did Antoninus get his wealth from, you'll recall he had in Sanhedrin that Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim had put away huge storage houses of money for the sale of all of the food that he sold to the whole world during the years of Rav, of famine. Eventually that was found, and it was split up by three. Koyrech took one third, Antoninus took another third, and the other third, it says, is miyuchad, is mezuman, the tzaddikim la'olam habo, the yosad lavoi. So that's how Antoninus got it.
Is the same as Mark Antony?
Mark Antony.
No.
Antoninus Pius.
Pius, right. But I was saying before, there's a book by Dov Zakheim. He argues that it's actually Antoninus' son Commodus, who was a later emperor, because Commodus is recorded as having traveled through Eretz Yisrael when he was a young man, when Rebbe was when Rebbe was alive. So the secular history suggests that somebody else, but the art scroll apparently has a lot of detail. But Mark Antony is two centuries earlier.
Right. I didn't know either one of them.
Was the philosopher?
Yeah, that's Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius is his father.
That's great. The island knows their stuff over here. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara.
Gladiator.
Those that want to really delve into the history of all this and who the people are referring to, Art Scroll has very, very lengthy footnotes that go into it, both in the English and in the Hebrew editions. But getting back to Agmar, so I'll take a goyim ele geyim zantaninas v'rebish v'poskim al shulchanam. They were so wealthy that at all times throughout the year they always had chazeres. Chazeres is romaine lettuce, like we have chasa, we have on Pesach, and of course many people eat it throughout the year. Like kishus, kishus is a form of cucumber or squash from that, or gourd from that family. Like tznoin, tznoin are radishes. So reitach, yeah. So they had them meisik shamim, side during the summer months, side during the winter months. The omar mar. So what's the big mal? It's a shkoyach. Many people have salad every day. So what's the
takeaway?
Oh, so what the takeaway from all of this is that these are all very healthy for the body. Whether that still applies today, you can ask, because it's famous, the Rambam in Hilchas Madda has all types of instructions and suggestions about what is good and what is not good for nourishment and for the body and nutrition and all the rest. And later Achronim write that this does not necessarily apply today, because the human teva has changed over the years, as well as what people eat and the atmosphere and all that. So whether or not you can rely on this today, Vesnish, but at least the Gemara tells us it's annoying radishes, when you eat a lot of food and you need something to help the metabolism of the body to break down all of that food into different fiber and cells and molecules and this and that. The other thing, it's annoying radishes is good to kind of cut the oichel, the food in the person's stomach and intestines.
Someone told me that it's also radishes is a appetite suppressant.
Okay.
So if you want,
in other words, if you want a diet and you eat a lot of radishes, then you.
That's what he said.
Very good.
And if you cut a knife with a radish with a knife, it's like it's hot in terms of bilious and everything.
That's true. That's true.
Halachas of like. That's true.
That's true.
Right.
Exactly. And some say pineapple and other things which have such.
Maybe they were vegetarians, Rav Yehuda.
No, they weren't.
Anyway, that's maybe another discussion. But today, chazeres mahapach ma'achel, after the tznoyim does a good job in cutting it into smaller slices and pieces in the intestines and in the stomach, etc., the chazeres, the lettuce, is mahapach, will turn it upside down and hafochba, the kulabas. Yeah, the kishkas, yeah, exactly. And then the kishus. That's the cucumbers that we're talking about at the gourds. Marchameyim, that will open up the intestines, will expand it. So again, all of these three help in the digestive system, etc. Break Dimara. On this kishus, I have a kasha. How did the kishus and kishuan get its name? Their name, because they are bad. Not only are they not nutritious, to the contrary, they're bad for the person. Kacharov is like swords. But it depends really whether you're talking about the huge gourds, the huge cucumbers. You're talking about smaller ones. The bigger ones are not good. The smaller ones are wonderful, and they are great for Marachim Mi'ai. And with this, we've concluded this beautiful Agadata, and now we come back to our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we said back in Daf Ches, that among the Eden, the Chagois, that the people had, which were not just secular holidays, but religious holidays where they brought sacrifices, was Yom HaLeda, that's the birthday, the Yom HaMis, and the yard site of the king. Now, we should look back at the Mishnah just for a moment, because the Gemara Mishnah expands a little bit upon this Yom HaMisa. Yom HaMisa is talking about the yard site, but we have machlokes between the Tanakama and between the Chachom, Tanakama being the mayor. You go back to Mishnah Ches Amud Aleph, on the second line, we just quoted Yom HaLeda V'Yom HaMisa Dibur HaMeir. That's an id. That's a holiday. It depends. Kamisa sheyesh basreifa, yesh b'avodes kachal. Shein basreifa, ein b'avodes kachal. What does that mean? As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, it was the minig in those days Today they probably would auction them off and try to go and collect a lot of money. But in the good old days, when you had a king and he had his own personal effects to go and show the his exalted status, any personal effects that he would leave behind, they wouldn't allow anyone else to use, even future kings. But that wasn't, I guess, universal by all kings, but only, I guess, the very important eminent kings. Those, they would make sure to take their personal items and burn, while there were others, shameless reifa. So Chacham say, if he was such an eminent, such an exalted, such a greater king, then they would burn all of his personal effects, and they made a ganze choga, a ganze yontif, worth bringing sacrifices. However, shameless reifa, apparently he's kind of a minor league king, maybe he was only king for a day or for a week or whatever it was. If they didn't say you have to go and burn his personal effects, then they didn't make a tzimis about him, and then you don't have to worry, there was no id and there was no sacrificing and all the rest. However, Rameya disagrees, because Rameya just says the Gemara is assuming now as its premise that the fact that the Chachamim distinguish between Yesh Basreifa and Ein Basreifa, that has a religious connotation to it, and that therefore Rameya rejects that and says no, there is no religious connection between burning the king's personal effects, while the Chacham say no, there is a major distinction between Yes Reif and No Reif. So it really makes no difference if it was a Misa Mitzreif or Unsreif. They would go into their churches and they would go and worship their Avodah Zarah, bring sacrifices and thank their gods, either that they had this Melech or maybe that the Melech has passed away. But regardless, they made a ganze yom hadur, hal vaydur, because of that Melech. So Kuntra may make a difference. Yom Misa, Yos Reif and Nishreif. Alma Sreifa, Lav Chuki. Therefore, it's apparent that according to Meir, that Inyan of Sreifa is not an absolute religious requirement, but rather the people that are left behind after the king dies can make a decision whether yes or no. Now, the fact that Rabbanim do disagree and distinguish between Yosreifa and Isreifa, V'chal Rabbanim Sarvi Sreifa, Chuki. And we're using the term Chuka, we don't just mean that it's a statute, we mean that it's a Chuka Sa'amim, that this is a religious practice. So if you have a king where they go and burn the personal effects, that's religiously required under their whatever, and therefore that's why they make a big tzimis in their make a ganze holiday with sacrifices and all the rest. Freitimar, since presumably we paskin like Rabbanan, and then Sreifa therefore saying is a chukahi, but Tanya, Sarfram Malachim, Flame Darkia Moiri. Even among Jewish kings we have that same practice, that we can go and burn all of the personal effects. Flame Darkia Moiri, this is not considered to be following in the Darkia Moiri, which I mean is Pasik says, Uvechukaseyam Loiselechu, like the Gemara is going to quote momentarily, that we're not supposed to go and follow the customs and the practices of the Amorites, which is really not just the Amori, but referring to the Goyim generally, their religious practices. So, Freiti Mora, the Ichukihi, if we are concluding that according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that one burns the personal effects of a king that passed away, that is a religious requirement, how can we then go and say in the Braisa, Sorvram Malachim, we also do the same thing? You're not allowed to follow in the footsteps of the Goyim in their chukim.
Who says they did it first? What if we did it first and they imitated us?
The Gemara could have answered that, but apparently the Gemara felt
historic. Don't they also say Kaparis is Darkei HaMori?
Yes, of course we do.
Yeah.
Never mind, but the Machaber, the Ramah disagrees with that.
And the Machaber, in fact, is anti Kaparis. The Ramah is in favor of Kaparis. And the interesting thing is that Sfaradim today, they run to Kaparis much quicker than the Ashkenazim. So they have more or less adopted the Ramah's version, Ramah's view, as opposed to the Machaber. But getting back to our Gemara now, so that says the Gemara now, so how could we also go in the dark Yom Moiri by going and burning our Malachim's personal effects? No. You're making the premise of your Kasha is faulty. It's not a religious requirement. It's only a question of chashivus. In other words, if the Oilam feels that this king that just died, President Trump, he should be Marach Yomim, but when he does die, then people go, oh, that was a president. Nishka Auto Pen president, who was already demented, all the rest. That doesn't mean our president. We're going to go and call every monument throughout America. We're going to go and change the name from the Jefferson Memorial to the Trump Memorial, and etc., etc. Anyway, so that's Chashivusahi. That was not a political statement. You can feel free to think whatever you want.
It's recorded.
It's recorded? Okay. The left-wing media, who knows what they're going to do? They're going to bash. Anyway, El Chashivusahi. What the Gemara is telling us is, the Mishnah is telling us is, the machloek between the Meir and the Chum is not about religious requirements. It's rather talking about Chashivus. What means Chashivus? If a president or a king has the prestige, that's what people do about his personal effects.
A burning?
Exactly. Very good. Yeah. This would be dealing with this very burning issue that we've been discussing now for the last couple of minutes. Anyway, so it has to do with chashivas and not with religion. So what's machlib between Remei and the Chacham? Remei is over leishlam mitzvah sheish basreif, leishlam mitzvah sheim basreif. Palchi bala voyez chacham. It really doesn't make a difference whether the king was an eminent, exalted king or he was just one out of many kings. Nevertheless, whether or not they were makbet to be sorev, nish makbet to be sorev, doesn't really make a difference. The rule was that the day of his yahrzeit, they would get together in the churches and they would go and be palchi, they would worship the Beit Zohar and bring sacrifices and so on. Rabbanan Sarvi, no. Nishish basreifa, chashiva lehu, upalchi ba. Then they take and make a ganzi yontav, they go and make a hold to tumul, and they go into the church and they bring a sacrifice. Shemil ein basreifa, if he was not so choshev, that people said, your personal effects, this person, who cares? Therefore, so not that this was some sort of religious thing, this Reifa.
It was a signifier.
It signified whether he was an important guy or not an important person after all. Gufa. How do we know that we, Klal Yisrael, also have this custom? It's in the Pasuk by Tzidkiyo HaMelech. Misholim, Tomus, Misvavis, Avisecha, Hamalochim, etc. So, Yermia.
It may be that they got it from us.
That's you missed it by 2 minutes.
I'm sorry.
No, you did beautiful.
My suggestion.
Yeah, that was Brother Barry's suggestion a couple of minutes ago. Before the holiday, before the king died. No problem. So, if you have number 5. Of the third or Shalim Bisholim Tomus, Yud Sitkiya Melech, you're gonna die in peace. Um Nisufois Abisakha Hamalochim or Rishonim, etc. They are going to use those misrafois, those furnaces, to go and burn your personal effects, just like that of the other kings. So the point that he's trying to make is that this was a Jewish custom as well. It wasn't just an Amorite custom. Ukishem to serve Malachim Kach Surfal Nasir. Not only do we do this for the kings, we do it for the presidents. Mm-hmm. President over here is not referring to an American president, referring to the head of the Sanhedrin.
And
Nasi, exactly. Umayin Tzerfan Malachim, what would they go and burn? Mitosan, their beds, Uklay Tashmishan, their personal effects. Umayin Sishamesram Gamliel Hazokay, others take out the word Hazokay, and they say, the Seraph Olav Unkles Hager Shivim Mona Tsuri, that when he died, when he passed away, then Unkles Hager, who we just spoke about, he went and he burned 70 mona tsuri. Tsuri, of course, is the name of the town or place called Tsoyer. Some say it's Tyre, T-Y-R-E, in present-day Lebanon. Anyway, how much is Shiva mona? A huge fortune. Rashi tells us some of the standard denominations. If you look at the Rashi, Shiva mona tsuri, about halfway down the Rashi's. Mashma hakesef sarv, it sounds like he took the dollar bills or the bars of gold that he burned them. Tsuri's Mishkol Shel Tsur, that's the name of the place. V'chof Heislam, every mona had in it 25 slaim. V'hasela Dalad Dinrin, every seller had Dalad Dinrin. V'adinr Ho Mishkol Zohov Constantina. And therefore, we're talking about 25 times 4 is 100, especially if it's Mishkol Zohov. I'm not sure whether Rashi means that it was gold, or it means that it was minted in Constantine. Regardless, but the point is, it's not just one mana, we're talking about 70 mana. So this was quite a big fortune. And he, Uncle Seger, burned that after Ram Gamliel passed away. We're talking about personal effects, we're not talking about burning money. In other words, the value of 70 mana tsuri. Ram Gamliel had this palatial bed and other clay tashmishan. All of these were burned, and it's saying that Unkelis saw to all of them was burned, and it was worth a very large fortune.
Well, what's the kesher of Unkelis to Rebbe Gamliel?
I don't know. Maybe they're best friends. Maybe he worked in the palace. Quite. No idea.
Money burns a hole in your pocket.
That's true too. Anyway, so that's what happened. By the way, we spoke about before Antoninus Varebi, they were both the richest people on the face of the earth at that time, and they had at all times Chazeres, Kishus, and Tanaim. Toises points out that there's another famous Gemara that said Rebbe said about himself when he passed away that he was not Nehenef from Oilum Azeh, Afilu Ke'etzbak Tana, even like this, the amount of a little pinky. He didn't have any Hanoah from Oilum Azeh. If that's the case, where did all this food go to? It all went to waste.
His court.
So Top Toises says, Ikomokum, Top Toises, all the way on top. Sanon v'chazeres loybi moisachama. Now go to the last four lines of the Toises. V'yafgav v'mrinan, even though we say in Mesechtes Ksubis and Daf Kuf Talid, Sherebi loynenem in oylem afilu be'etzbek tana, Ikomokum, oich leishulchonoi hoyurab. He had always a lot of guests at his table, and they were the ones that ate the tanoin and the kishus. What did he do? He fasted most of the time. But bottom line is, he was not in the henna from this world after the ketzbek tana. And we continue on. Zokti more of
item. Did you say that you didn't allow to put your shirbinyana from every fruit and whatever else in this world, that you should take advantage of the bounty of the
world? Okay? I don't know about that, but if you find that Gemara, we'll ponder it and mention him at that time. In the meantime, we'll continue on. That what you just said now is famous in the name of, I think, the Rav Breuer, if I'm not mistaken. No, about him, somebody, one of the German scholars, that he said that every person should go and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the Alps. What a beautiful, you have to come to the Schweiz to see the Alps, to see the Gvuras HaBoire, the grandeur and the majesty of these gorgeous mountains, etc. Anyway, Umidi Akhruda, for 18 months, no, it was Rav Shamshul Fulhirsch, they said, name Rav Shamshul Fulhirsch, he said, Haben Sie meine schöne Schweiz gesehen? Something like that. Well, media afraid more media chrono loy. It's only his personal effects. What Tanya? We learned in Brisa that even oikrin halam alachem the emoy mishum darkei emoy. Oikrin means that we sever the arteries of the legs of the animals, also to go and show our despair and our grieving, the grief because of the melech that died. Mm-hmm. So now oikrin alachem again. We're assuming that these are not our animals; it belongs to the melech. And l'choyre, an animal, is not a personal effect. It's not like his bed or other things that he uses on a regular basis. You know, it's about an animal. We're talking about, in fact, his royal steed that he would go and ride on a regular basis.
Yeah,
when he went to horses, or if he was horsing around, he was on this susherochavalav. And this is also considered to be a personal effect, that they didn't burn it, but they would go and sever the arteries so that the exactly cripple effectively. Very good. Right, Timora, you tell me a source. This din of oikin al malachan only refers to non kosher animals. But Tanya, iko sheyesh ba treifa, osim sheim ba treifa mutter. The iko that we're talking about is only if you're severing veins or arteries, whatever, that doesn't cause the animal to become a treifa, but not if you're causing it to become a treifa. Now, obviously, the inyan of making something a treifa would only apply to a kosher animal, not to a non-kosher animal, because the sus is anyway not kosher, so yom machen treifa, nish machen treifa doesn't make any difference. If the ezel iker she'im ba'treifa, how can you be oiker she'im ba'treifa? So the amara ha'menashe parsisem and akuvu lamata. It depends where you go and cut those arteries, whether it was mekuvu lamata, kuvu lamala, arkuva is variously translated either as knee or the ankle bone. Anyway, so if you go and cut it underneath that joint, although it will cripple the animal effectively, but it won't make it into a treifa, you'll still be able to go and use it. But otherwise,
under the knee, not under the ankle. I remember this.
Under knee, instead of, okay, knee goes on his eye.
Second joint.
Next time we get to Masechtas Chulin, we'll talk about this in much greater detail. But in the meantime, what we see from this is that we're talking about kosher animals. Now, kosher animals usually are not used as a personal effect. After all, you cannot ride on the back of a cow or an ox or a sheep.
It's not very elegant for a king.
I'm not sure that's very doable. In other words, you know, it's good for plowing in the fields, but if you want to get from place to place, going with a cow or an ox, it's not going to get you very far.
Well,
but anyway,
it will move.
It'll definitely move. and anybody that sees it will be moved.
You can do an ox to pull that cart.
Oh, so that's the Gemara's Teret. We're talking about a calf, lavdafka calf, but he means animals that he used to go and pull the royal carriage. Oh, so that's already a personal effect. And that, of course, is a kosher animal. Therefore, says the Gemara, if and when the king were to die, depending on how eminent the king was, sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't, burn his personal effects and or cause this ikur of the animal. But even when you're doing the ikur, make sure you do it minakuva lamata, not minakuva lamala, so that it does not become a treifa. Zok Yimor Baitza, we have now in the Mishnah Nochemul, Yem Teglacha Zikonoi, Ubloi Risoi. We have left the royal family, and now we're talking about private individuals. And it states in the Mishnah that if you have a private individual who is now taking a beard cut, Yem Teglacha Zikonoi, Ubloi Risoi, we normally refer to Ubloi Risoi as a chup, but it really means in times of Chazal, a ponytail that they used to wear in the back. And they would only take haircuts or beard cuts like this, typically once a year. And so therefore, the day that he did it, when he would come home, his wife would say, "You look 20 years younger." So she would make for him a big, big party. And that party, they would go into the church, and they would bring a sacrifice, and they would make halav ha'idua, that he was able to finally take his beard off, and his kuku, his ponytail off, etc., etc. So now, the way we learned the Mishnah was that you have potentially two separate dates. One date where they took off the zakan, and another date when he took off his bloyers. And each one of them had the same status as a gantzi yontif. However, the Gemara is not so sure. Iboilu, hey chitoni, how do you learn the Mishnah? Yom teglach ha-zakonai, v'hanoch ha-zblur isoi. That's the day that they cut off the zakan, in contrast to the ponytail which was left on that day, and that was the day that they made a ganza choga and they went into the church. Oy Dilma, these are two separate events. Yoim teglach zekanoi, one, and number two, vavoris blurisoi. In other words, one day they would go and remove the beard, and that was a big choga, and another day they would go and take off the ponytail, and that was a big choga. So therefore, the shaila is, are we talking about one day a year or whenever, where they remove the beard and they left the ponytail? Or these two separate dates, one day where they remove the beard and another day that they took off the ponytail? It's Toshima. The Sanya Travayu. In fact, we have two separate brises, and the two separate brises are exactly like our Shaila. One brise says, Yom Teglach HaZakana V'Hanochas Blurisoi. And the other brise says, Yom Teglach HaZakana V'Avoras Blurisoi. And therefore, the Gemara is saying is, I have two separate prices exactly on both sides of the question. Therefore, we cannot determine the pshat in our Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah is learning like the first pshat, or maybe it's learning like the second pshat. So the Gemara leaves it as the Boyedli Ifshita, how to learn our Mishnah. Lamaisa, we have two prices, each one telling us what that price of fields was the custom among the Goyim, and that's why they made a Gantz Chog out of it. First price holds that it was just once a year or once in whatever the period of time was of the removal of the zakan, leaving the ponytail behind. The other one said, no, these were really two separate days that we're talking about. One was a beard shearing day, and the other one was a haircut day. And each one of them was a ganze chok. Zok Yimor Yetz. Amr Yina Mishmul. Oyrech Erez Yesh Lehem Beroymi. There was one other id that is not mentioned in our Mishnah. We had the Katlana and the other, the Kalender, and the other Stratonius, Yeller, beautiful names. All those three that we had, Kalenda, Stratonura, Kartisim, and of course the Yemkinusia and all that. So now Gemara says there was yet another Chogah that we didn't list in our Mishnah. And what was the name of that Chogah? Says Gemara, Ach Zeshivim Shana, this was not an annual thing, this was only once every 70 years. 70
years.
70, 7-0. Mayvi and Odom Shalin, they would go and bring a person who was gizunt, a healthy individual, a markivin oisel Odom Chiger, and they would go and put him on piggyback on someone who was a Chiger, who was lame. Now, what was the symbolism over here?
Esav and Yaakov.
Exactly right. So Rashi says the Odom Shalin was the Esav, the Odom Chiger was Yaakovinu. Why was he called the Chiger? Because it says about Yaakovinu after he had the fight with the Malach. Then Yaakov was Tzoleya al Yerecho. I'm sorry?
He became Yisrael.
became Yisrael. That's a separate story. But besides that, he was...
That's why he became Yisrael.
Okay. He was Soleya al Yerecho, which means that he was limping. So therefore... In Yiddish, that's correct. So you go and take Agzintamench and Malak Temerof of a Hinkadiker. So now you have these two together. And the person on top, the Esav, so to speak, they went and dressed him up with Bigdi Odom HaRishoy. And why Bigdi Odom HaRishoy, says Rashi, because we remember from Chazal that she, Rivki, Meina, put on Yaakov Avinu the Bigdi Esav HaChamudois, Asher Ita Baboyes. Okay. And Rashi says about Rivka, why did she have these Bigodim Chamudois? Because these really were from Odom HaRishoy.
Esav stole them.
And Esav had them. He did not want to leave them with his wives because he was afraid that they would go and steal it and sell it on auction on Google, and therefore he would lose all of that. And he only trusted his mother, and he gave it to Rivka. Okay, so they went and dressed the Esav figure on top of the Bigdi Odom. On top of his head, they never put the skull of Rabbi Shmuel. We know it was one of the Asara Ruge Malchus. And the daughter of the Kesar thought that he was very, very handsome. He's on tight.
The skull or the face, they slayed him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Look, we want to look at the Rashi. Rashi is Karkifli Rabbi Shmuel. It's about two lines, one line lower than where we are in the Gemara. Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol. Omeruge Malchus Ayu. Mitoch Yofioi, because he was so handsome. Nichnas Balev. It was preserved in some sort of afar samayin that's usually translated as balsam oil. It should remain intact. Even today, you can go into the treasures of Rome in the Vatican or wherever, and you can find that. Then afterwards, they hung from the neck of this fellow up and above. Miskol. Here it says Reish, but there's another Girsa, Dalid Zuza, De Pisa. Pisa is the same as Poz that you have in the Nach. The Poz Ubepninim Yikara. Poz was a very, very precious metal, or precious stone. And Rashi said, Ve'enu Motzeba Oilam. You find very few throughout the whole world. This is very, very, very rare. So that's why it's unlikely that they had Reish Zuza, De Pisa. Presumably it was a much smaller quantity. And they took that.
Fine gold.
There is a Gemara that says that there are different levels of gold, and one of them called is a Zov Pisa, but I don't know if it's the same thing as this.
But they said when they sell the Paz gold, all the other gold stores closed because they can't compete. Mm-hmm. It's so excellent. When it's available, it's
exactly right. Exactly right. But this apparently is pure Paz, not related to the gold at all. This was very, very rare.
Paz gold is probably called Paz gold because of the rarity of this gem.
Beautiful. So bottom line, yes, please.
Paz is an extremely rare stone.
Good.
In the world.
Oh, wonderful. So therefore, it's a stone.
She must have been there at school.
There's only one of them in the world.
Well, there may have been one in the world, but there were two zuzim worth of them, and maybe that was the value or whatever. It can't be that's the value because zuz is small. They weighed. Okay, good. Rabbi Yisai, this is such a weighty issue. We've now spoken about it now for about a minute or two. We have the weight of 2 or 4 or 200 zuz of this puz, which is very, very rare, very precious, and they would put it around his neck. And then they would go and cover over the shvakim, that means the roads. Some say shvakim is referring to the thighs from the word shaykh. Poshup shadows goes on the roads. The enoch. Enoch was a very precious stone, and we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara, you remember Rashi said about enoch that was neufach. Neufach is one of the 12 stones that was on the Choshen. Neufach Saper Viole. So, and in English they have the funny name Chernogel or something.
Carbuncle.
Carbuncle. Ah, that is the carbuncle. Fine. So therefore they went and paved the roads that day, presumably wherever this was taking place, with carbuncle. What is, by the way, carbuncle?
What?
What is carbuncle?
It's a very rare stone. But they also could have a precious carbuncle.
Stone. A precious stone. That's what I get. They put the carbuncle stones on the ground. And then they would go and have special people with, I guess, a loudspeaker saying, Sach Kiri Plaster! Achva de Marnes Yafna! What is all this about? So Rashi says that these achrozes were to ridicule Yaakov Avinu and ultimately the Jewish people. So what did they say? So Sach Kiri Plaster, about halfway down the Rashi's, it's about 6-7 lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. Sach Kiri Plaster, Rashi, Cheshboin HaKotzin, Cheshboin HaKotzin Kozavhu. So the word Kiri over here is referring to Kotzin. Kotzin is usually like a general, like a prominent political figure or military figure. The words and the Cheshboinus that he said are Kozav, are all fake news. I've heard that expression, right? So what is he referring to? Nevuas Yaakov, Shekor Lebonav Le'achris Hayomim, Shesoifen Le'goyel, Kozav, that's a bunch of baloney. Mashiach is going to come, there's going to be a Geula, it's never going to take place. Sach is the Cheshbon that we talked about. Sach is usually the total amount. Kiri is of that Kotzin. Plaster, that's all Divrei Plaster, meaning it's all fake news. And then, continuing on in the Gemara, back in the Rashi, Achva de Marna Ziafna. Afa means the brother, the Marna of our Odoin, their Odoin being Edoin, being Esav. Ziafna, he is a falsifier. He's a person that engages in Ziuf, in counterfeiting and forging documents. Ochiv shel Adoinenu Esav, Zayfenu. Who's that? That's Yaakov. How do I know? Sharima li Esav, v'choshev lito bracha liyois kvir liyachov. That he went into Yitzhak Avinu to go and get an abracha, and he went and camouflaged himself as if he was Esav, so therefore he is a Mazayev. As a gunish mit gunish. So that's the ceremony that they had once in 70 years, and now the Gemara concludes on this part, the chami, chami udloi chami loi chami. The word chami over here is like kol chamira v'chamia, which means the chazite udloi chazite, the chamite udloi chamite. Chami means to see. Whoever saw this spectacle, chami, he was in a sense, he was zochet to see it. If you never saw it, you're not going to see it for the next 70 years, because it only takes place once in 70 years. If you were Zocha to be there now, you saw it. If you were not Zocha, in all likelihood, you're never going to go and see it, because it's another 70 years to go.
At that time, people were not living that long.
Exactly right. Yimeshin is saying behem, shivim shah. Zokti Mora. So, now they continued on. My ahani l'ramo b'ramo usay ula zayafna b'zayna fusay. Then the Machris continued on and said, "My Yahani, what's going to help the Ramai?" They're referring to Yaakov Avinu, Rambam Usay, with his trickery that he tricked Yitzhak Avinu vis-a-vis that he's Esav. Was the opposite in Afusay again that he was Mazayev? He camouflaged himself like Esav. What benefit does he have from all of that? Zero. But then, strangely enough, when Mesayim Behochi, the Machris would say, "Vayledein kad Yokim Dein." Woe is it to this one referring to us, the Edomites, the Romans, our the descendants of Esav, Kad Yokum Dein, if and when ever Yaakov Avinu is going to get up and he's going to ascend in power, Och and they to us. Sounds kind of contrary to what he said before,
yeah.
Because before we were saying that Yaakov, that whatever he said, it's not true, it's all false, and it's baloney, but at the end they said, oh, but if it becomes true, oy, 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 it's going to be Och and they for us. Amr Ravashi, Yechshilon Pihem L'Rishon. These Rishonim, in one of the statements that was made by the Machriz, he went and made a mistake. In which respect? Because what did he say? If you go back a couple of lines, they said about Yaakov Avinu that he was Achva Demarna Zayafna. So now, Amr, were he to have said, were that Machriz to say, Zayafna Achva Demarna Kirika Amri? What does that mean? Zayafna, the falsifier. Achva the Marna is the brother of our Moron, meaning of Edoim, of Esav, and therefore they're referring to Yaakov Avinu as the Yafna. However, Hashem the Amri, the Marna, the Yafna, he didn't say that. They didn't say the Yafna, Achva the Marna, but rather they said Achva the Marna, the Yafna. Oh, so it's the other way around now. Marna Gufe is the Yafna. The word the Yafna now modifies the word Marna, and therefore they're referring to Achva, the brother of our Moron, the falsifier, and therefore the Ziyafna now is modifying not Yaakov Avinu, but rather Esav HaRasha. This is such a fascinating story. Every 70 years, why wasn't it brought in the Mishnah? Says, I'll tell you why. Our Mishnah only lists the annual holidays. For less v'choshot v'shot, those holidays only take place, such as this one, once in 70 years, like v'choshiv. The Mtana did not bother listing that in the Mishnah. Now, since we listed Hani Durei Moi, the Roman holidays, Tell me, what about Udpar Sohimai? What about the Persian holidays? Which holidays are those? Oh, don't you know? It's the famous Mutridi, Turiski, Maharniki, and Meharan holidays. Okay, Sahani Dipar Sohi, those are the Persian ones. During Moy we had in our Mishnah. What about the Babylonian, the Bafaloimai? What are those? Maharnaki, Aknise, Bechonuni, the Eser Ba'adar. Interesting, they had a special holiday known as, or that at least took place, every 10th of Adar.
The names of our months are actually taken from the Babylonians. So like Tammuz, like Tammuz, right. I mean, so this is not extraordinary. I mean, we're borrowing, we call them Yom Rishon, Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni.
Good.
But our names were taken from our time in Babel.
Okay, good. It's not good. Anyway, these are the names of all of their holidays. And then the Rambam and other Mefarshim bring that all of this has only historical interest. All of that became bubble because there are virtually no idolaters or worship idols throughout the world, except in perhaps some deep corners somewhere, twice in Africa or India or whatever, but b'derech klal, you don't have idol worshippers today, and therefore none of these holidays exist anymore, and that's why we're not familiar with them. Omer Rav Chanan bar Rav Chizda Omer Rav, Yamila Omer Rav Chanan bar Rova Omer Rav, Chamisha Bote Avodis Chachom Kivuin Hei. There are five Avodizor Kivuin. What does kivuin mean? The Gemara is going to talk about that as we hit the wider lines down below. But in the meantime, there are five bati avodis chachamim, like what we would call churches. Kivuin wara kivua, hey? Which are those five? Elohei, Beis Baal in Bavel, Beis Navoi in Kursi, Terata Shema Mapag, Tzrifa Sheba Ashkelon, and Nashra Sheba Arvia. Those are the five remaining temples at that time where they were Beis Avodis Zora, idolatry in the Hogeshat. Kiyos Rav Dimi came, he said, you left out two. Yisifa Alemi added to those two five, Yirid Sheba Ein Bechi, and Nadbecha Sheba Akoy. Yirid in Ein Bechi, Nadbecha in Akoy. Ikariyami, others had a slightly different gear, so not Nadbecha in Akoy, but Nadbecha in Akoy. Now, the Gemara told us, Rav Dimi Min Erdo, that was Stam Rav Dimi, this is Rav Dimi Min Erdo, Masi Ibcha, he said just the opposite. Remember we said before, Yerid in Ein Bechi, Nadbecha or Natbara in Akoy, and this new girsa is Yerid Sheba Akoy and Nadbecha in Ein Bechi. Omle Rav Chanan bar Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda, my kavuahim. What does that mean that they're kavua? Omle Hachi Omravua, the Imech, this is what your grandfather said. Kavuahim hein li oilam tadira kule shata palchiluhu. It's not like our churches today, which don't have mass throughout the whole year because they don't have a minyan. They only do on Kratzmach and maybe on January 1st, but that's about it. Yeah, these churches were active every day. You can come in en masse to go and participate in mass.
Literally.
Exactly. That was kavuin at that time. So we have this Shmuel already earlier on in the Masechta, even though in our mission it says 3 days before. Say Shmuel, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Don't transact business only on their religious holiday. That's the only Isser on that holiday itself. What's the reason why in Goyla it was only that one day? So Rashi already earlier when we had Shmuel already explained, and Rashi explains once again that the reason is for two reasons. Number one, because we live among the Goyim, and therefore we're worried about Eva, we're worried about enmity and hatred and all the rest. And number two, says Rashi, Oy Mishum Yira. Yira means we're afraid that we're going to give us pench, Chulila. We're going to go and start up with them and not do, and we're not going to transact business.
Boycott them.
Exactly. So then they're going to boycott us, and then besides that, they can go and give us pech and all types of pogroms and this and that. So we want to remain on as good terms as theoretically possible. Pray tomorrow, you're telling me that Yoim Adam, that Goylet was also one day, but Rav Yehuda Shorle, Rav Bruna, Lizbune Chamra, Rav Gira, Lizbune Chitin, Bechagsa Detai. That he allowed on this Chag of the Tai of the merchants to go and sell wine, and the other one to go and sell chitim to them on that day. Isn't that a problem?
Right.
Presumably they're going to go into the churches and use that for their purposes. Every Marshani Chag said the Tai of the Lekvia. This was a holiday which was not kavua. What it means it was not kavua, says Rashi, the second wide line Lekvia. Ein choshen lo kol kach. Even they are not so frum about this holiday. If they miss a year or two, Nishkevel, okay, so we'll celebrate it next year. You know, we don't have to have this every single year. We'll have it once a year, twice a year, or once every two, 3 years. Since we're not so makbin on it, we're also not makbid because they don't really consider it to be that much of a real, sincere religious holiday. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai.
They don't suspend all three sides for parking on those.
Oh, days. Now we're talking. Have a wonderful day.
We have a no pasul next shul because we hold, you know, the Tosfos had to bring down.
Which one
you have to fill? The Tosfos would have answered, we hold that shul.